You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yeah, sure. I'm here for it. I'm here for the remix. It is Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. The big show on the radio. Let's get it, dudes and dudettes. Let's rock and roll 4 hours. Of sports talk entertainment excellence starts right now. Great to have you. I am Rob Brown, the great with Lonzo on the other side of the metaphorical glass. This AM in charge of every single sound that will penetrate your ear holes this morning. And it is, as has been mentioned, Friday, got to get down on Friday. Not just any regular old Friday, people. It is Friday before we all enjoy licks. Super Bowl licks coming up on Sunday. Oh, yeah. Let's get to it.
It took so long to get here. I mean, I don't know how people have not lost interest.
I've lost all my interest.
2 whole weeks. I mean, why would they do that to us?
All we're talking today is NFL or NBA trade deadline. That's it. Just 4 hours of NBA trade deadline today.
You got to give the people what they want. Because, you know, according to the internet, all the people hate the Chiefs. So why would we talk about a game that the Chiefs are playing in?
Snoop Dogg had some jokes for y'all last night. Snoop Dogg was getting after a little bit last night.
See, I just don't watch those kind of shows anymore.
You watch the NFL honors?
There's so much politics in every single thing. And then there's awkward jokes usually. And then they pan to people who don't even have anything to do with what's going on stage. It's just – and then I don't know if this happened last night. I did watch a couple bits of it.
Sure.
But there's always – bad sound, and it makes no sense.
I did watch last night, and I got to tell you, I thought it was good. I will say this: there's a lot of things that the DOGG has hosted that he's done a really good job. Last night was not one of them. Like, there's a lot that's Snoop's a dude that needs to be able to come off the cuff. Snoop trying to read a prompter and tell jokes just doesn't have the same vibe to it. Like during the Olympics, when he and Kevin Hart have done their, their nightly Olympic wrap-up show on, what is it, Peacock or whatever it's on, that is actually really entertaining, but that's because you have a professional stand-up funny man and Snoop, high off his gourd, just telling jokes about horses dancing and doing the crip walk and whatnot. And that's really funny.
All right. See, I tuned in right before I fell asleep. I started watching. I fell asleep. And Goodell was out there with the children of Sweetness. And I think it was Cam Jordan.
Are you tuned in late?
Yeah. Well, no, it started at 9.
Yeah, but so. if you tuned in for the Walter Payton Award.
No, they were on early to announce that it was coming up later.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, okay.
And they were struggling with the prompter.
Justin Jefferson came out because they were – Randy Moss was doing the Comeback Player of the Year award, but because Randy's obviously at his house, he's battling cancer right now, he did it remotely. And so to introduce Randy Moss working remotely, they brought out Justin Jefferson – and he came out and, like, he asked for, you know, he's like, let's show Randy Moss some love, support. He's one of the GOATs. He's one of the guys. Like, let's give him some love and support. And then it was time for him to, like, actually do the introduction. And he's like, the prompter went out, guys. Like, it just brought the whole thing to a grinding halt. They eventually got it up and running again. And listen, I don't expect NFL guys to be able to go out there and, like, work off the cuff.
It's not on them. It's on the producers and the technical people behind the scenes, and I'm probably dooming myself for today's show. But you had all year to prepare for this one show, and I don't know if they jump from another show to this show, that they bring in crews from all over to do this, or if this is just the NFL Network crew doing it, or if it's NFL Films doing it. But I do better.
Stuff like that's going to happen. We do this show every day for 4 hours, and we still have things that go wrong sometimes. That's just the downside of doing any professional broadcast. I really didn't think, and last night I thought was exceptionally good. I thought it was a good broadcast. I thought it was, for the most part, largely entertaining. The guys are having a good time. Snoop Dogg was like, you know, since I don't know why I'm trying to do, I can't do a Snoop impression, but Snoop's like, you know, I've been watching the league. I remember a time when the Dallas Cowboys were good and the Kansas City Chiefs were bad, and my Pittsburgh Steelers was that and the other. He goes, you know what that time was? Before Bill Belichick's girlfriend was born. And it's like, all right, I'm here for it. I'm here for some cheap, underhanded jokes. Let's go. I'm good with that. You had some good moments from the boys. Joey Burrow won the 2024 Comeback Player of the Year award. He gets up on the stage and he's like, well, this is an award you definitely don't want to win, and certainly don't want to be nominated for it twice. And it's like, there's some good chuckles. Snoop at one point brought up Joey B's Batman tumbler that he bought for $2.9 million. And he's like, yeah, this thing's got everything. It comes with oil slicks, comes with a grappling hook, comes with spikes that come out the back. I guess you could say Joey B's been searching for a good defense for a while. It's like, all right, I'm here for it. I'm here for some cheap burns. I'm here for some cheap pops, whatever. But, like, make the show good. And honestly, I thought it was good. I thought there were a couple of guys who gave really good speeches. I thought Joey B was absolutely hilarious. I thought that, dude, I don't want to hang out with Jaden Daniels. And not just because I picked him to win the Rookie of the Year award. And he did, and I won a 17-1 ticket, and Daddy's buying some expensive bourbon today.
Stop.
I want to hang out with Jaden Daniels. They went to JD, like, multiple times throughout the night. They got him on the red carpet, which the wife and I went. I told her it was coming on. I'm like, hey, I'm going to watch this show later on. I was like, I understand if you don't want to watch it, but, you know, I'm going to. I said I can stay out in the living room or in the bro cave and watch it if you want to go watch, you know, Olivia Benson or whatever. And she's like, I had it on in the living room, and it was during they did like a 2-hour red carpet beforehand. It was like the damn Grammys. And she's like, no, I'll watch it, because they had, you know, they had all the celebrities coming out and all the NFL players were in their tailored suits and all that. And she's like, all right, I'll watch it. And they interviewed Jaden Daniels on the red carpet pregame, and the dude is just like the definition of chill, right? Like, he's not, he doesn't try. And when we say somebody doesn't try, usually that's an insult, but there's just those guys that are just like, they're just effortlessly cool. They're just effortlessly cool. And that's this guy. And I look at him and I was really thinking about this. Because Joey B is the same way, right? Just like effortlessly cool. He's just he's kind of a goofball, but he's also got Riz. Like, he's just effortlessly cool. And I started thinking about the top QBs around the league. Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. I'm putting Jaden Daniels in that conversation. I don't care what you say. I was thinking about the top QBs in the league.
I would say slow your roll. Let's see him do it. Because remember, C.J. Stroud was the man 2 years ago.
I mean, that's absolutely fair.
Let's see what the sophomore season's like.
That's absolutely fair, and I'm not going to, like, press you back on it. But to me, and this is also, I understand that there is the potential that I have an unrecognized bias in the noggin because I'm just a big Jaden Daniels fan. I also saw stuff out of Jaden Daniels I haven't seen out of a rookie quarterback since Lamar Jackson. Like, Jaden Daniels just did more than C.J. Stroud. And that's not an insult to C.J. Stroud. That's just how good Jaden Daniels was. But I was thinking about the top quarterbacks in the league. I'm talking about Lamar. I'm talking about Josh Allen. I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes. I'm talking about Joey Ice Ice Baby Joe Burrow. When I think about the top QBs in the league, so are any of them, and I'm going to ask you to set aside your whatever personal opinions on Josh Allen and all that, and look at it from a 36,000-foot view. Are there any of, and when I say top quarterbacks, I mean top quarterbacks, top-notch, top flight, Super Bowl threat quarterbacks. Are there any of them active right now that aren't just cool, man? Like, they're just cool. They're just cool guys. I don't have anything that I'm, like, defining cool. I think setting definitions in any conversation is super important. I don't have one for this word. I think cool, somebody being cool, it's just one of those things that they are or they aren't. I don't know how to define what makes a guy cool or not. They're just somebody go, that dude's cool, or yeah, he's not very cool. All of the top quarterbacks, they just seem cool. And I don't know how to quantify that. I don't know what I can do with that information. I don't know how to put that down on a scout sheet where if I'm looking for QBs coming out of college that I might want to draft, and I go, you know, all of the top quarterbacks in the NFL are cool. I don't know how to quantify that.
Here's the thing. Cool is a broad brush. I mean, because my cool and your cool could be something totally different. So what you think is cool, I may think is annoying or arrogant.
I mean, we all know that already. Like, we have guys that we both, that's where we are. But I do think that there is a classic definition of American cool, right? You're talking about the dude that's like, he's attractive, he's got the good hair, he's effortless in conversation, he's got the vibe. There are people that you and I are going to think are very cool that mainstream America aren't. There's a bunch of guys in mainstream America thinks are cool that you and I are like, that dude sucks, what are we doing here?
So you just described Travis Kelce.
I think Travis Kelce for a long time was in that conversation. I think a lot of people are beginning to feel like Travis Kelce is kind of forced. And that's not Travis Kelce's fault, I don't know.
I'm glad you brought up that word.
Forced?
Yeah, because that's exactly Josh Allen. Forced. Forced by everyone. Should not have won the MVP this year. Should have went to Saquon Barkley. It's forced. He was so forced this year. He was forced last year, too. But they doubled down this year and tried to force him even more.
I would be curious, because I've said this before. It is one of the few times I just respectfully flat out attack your standing up on a conversation.
Okay, and you're wrong, but you go
and
ahead.
That's fine. That's fine.
Your name's on the show. I mean you can attack me. I could take it. Stop. I'm wearing winning colors today.
Stop.
So, I mean,
not attacking you, attacking your position. Those are different things. I can attack a position and still love Lonzo, and I do. But I can attack the position.
According to politicians, that's not possible.
Well, politicians are dumb and we all don't like them, right? Like, isn't that where we've all landed? All politicians are dumb and we don't like them. I think this is actually a talent that Americans have lost. I think we've kind of developed this attitude around the country that if you attack a position I hold, that you're attacking me. And that's not the same thing. Attacking a belief or a position is attacking the belief in the position. I have plenty of friends that I despise where they stand on certain issues, but I still like them as a person. This is why Lonzo made a joke yesterday when we went off the air, but we were still on the stream, about how if you want to have a conversation about politics and sports, keep it away from me, but you can talk to Rob because he likes that. I do, because I can hold a 180-degree position from you on certain things and attack your position, but still respect you and like you as a friend. I think we've kind of lost that a little bit.
Really, that's the suit he chose. I mean,
he's the one. He's just in a black suit.
Come on, dude.
There's no obligation to show up and show out.
Remember who's on your arm. I mean, you got to make sure of that.
I don't know, Alonzo. I don't know if you know this or not. I know you do because I think Miss Lisa's in this group, but I could be wrong. Some ladies like just a classic slick suit. One of the biggest fights I have with my wife is that when we go to stuff like this, I'm like, yo, where's my jacket with the sequins on it? And she's like, can't you just wear a navy suit? Can't you just wear a khaki suit? Can't you just wear a black suit?
I've witnessed that.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
She likes a classic old school American suit. I, on the other hand, want to walk into the room and light it up like a disco ball. And that's we have to compromise. Now what I traditionally am in now, unless we're going to like pick up our fourth SCBA award.
I was going to say right now you're wearing tie-dye.
So. I am wearing tie-dye.
It's like
hates.
Some country artist.
It
of
is.
Some
it's,
sort.
It's Dwight Yoakam. It's Dwight Yoakam. She hates this shirt, which is why I wear it in the mornings when I come here.
Dagum Yoakam, boys.
I think a lot of people with the Josh Allen position is the guy's cool. I think Alonzo dislikes him because he is considered by, whether he, obviously he's not, as he is once again home this weekend, and Patrick Mahomes is once again in the Super Bowl this weekend. I think Zoe just doesn't like him because he's the only quarterback in the league that threatens Mahomes' monopoly on great quarterback.
I don't care about that. I don't. I mean, Patrick Mahomes had an off season this year. And they're still in the Super Bowl. I don't care. I don't like people pushing someone so much. They want them to win so much, not because they're a good guy or anything, just because they want to be right. And they've been wrong for 2 years. And they're going to continue to be wrong. And sometimes you play in an era where there's someone better than you that you cannot get past.
Genuine question.
Deal with it.
If Josh Allen was in the NFC, how many, if any, Super Bowls has he gone to? If he's in the NFC, how many Super Bowls have he
been? What team is he on?
If I took the exact same team, if I took the Bills and I flipped them with, let's say, I don't know, pick your favorite NFC team you want to get rid of. If I took Josh Allen's Bills, and over the past, let's say, 6 years, since Mahomes kind of like came out on the scene, if I took Josh Allen's Bills and his rookie year, they were in the NFC. Let's flip them with the Buccaneers. They're in the NFC South. How many Super Bowls has Josh Allen gone to with the exact same team, exact same setup, but he's in the NFC?
First of all, unrealistic that he would be in the South because South is horrible. I was thinking Seattle. So in my scenario,
I said the NFC South. So you put him in the furthest West team in the league.
So I'm going to put him in Seattle because he seems like a
not him. The Bills, same team.
No, I know. I know, but their leader, that guy, seems like a guy who would be in the coffee shops, every day.
Josh Allen's a coffee shop guy.
Oh, look at him! Come on, that's a cafe guy any day. I think that would be awesome. I love your scenario. That would be great. He still would be being pushed, and then he would lose in the Super Bowl every year. So that would be even better.
I didn't say how many would he win. I said how many would he go to.
Hey, that's fine. He would go to the Super Bowl, and he would lose in the Super Bowl. Which is worse, losing where he's losing or going to the Super Bowl and losing? I don't know. At least you made it there. I think the loss would be worse if you're in the Super Bowl than it is in the playoffs.
That's fair. It's fair. I think if Josh Allen's in the NFC, I think he's gone to 4 Super Bowls so far. Honestly.
And probably,
he's gone to 4. And might be 0-4 in him.
Yeah.
But he's gone to 4. I think he would have been in the Hall. I think Allen v. Mahomes would have been a Super Bowl rematch like 4 times so far. He might be 0-4. Maybe he's not. Mahomes has lost. Like, he's lost one. Granted, it was to Tom Brady, but he lost one.
He also lost his tackles before then.
Also true.
I mean,
so maybe he's like 1-3. I think Josh Allen over in the NFC is probably in multiple Super Bowls. But that being said, I'm watching the quarterback slide. I'm watching Josh Allen. I'm watching Lamar. I'm watching all these. I'm watching Joey B.
I don't think Lamar was there.
Well, I'm talking about like over. He was not there. But I'm talking about just like the overall concept of watching these guys. and I look at the guys who are the top flight QBs in the league, and I'm like, they're all just cool. Like, they're movie football player stereotypes. And I wonder if there is a way that you can translate that from college up to the next level and be like, this dude is just cool. Because I think being cool in public scenarios, honestly, especially like big ones like last
night. Out of all the ones you listed, there's only one cool enough to be in the movies, cool enough to be everywhere, cool, the coolest guy in all the NFL.
Joe Burrow.
That's Joe Burrow, without a doubt.
I don't disagree with that. Joe B is the coolest one. Josh, but also I think we kind of feel that way because he is kind of a dork too, which for us is cool.
Goes back to perspective about
cool. I don't disagree. But I wonder if there's a way to like translate that cool in societal settings to cool under pressure on the football field. It's an abstract thing, I understand. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we've got onto a. I do know exactly how we got onto a Dwight Yoakam kick. I'm literally wearing a Dwight Yoakam shirt. And then Lonzo reminded me, or I guess I should say informed me, because I haven't seen this movie since the late 90s, but Dwight Yoakam was the bad guy in Sling Blade, which now I have to go back and watch Sling Blade. Also found out that Dwight Yoakam apparently had a pretty and relatively healthy acting career through the late 90s into the mid-20-teens. You learn something new every day here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Okie doke, kids. We are talking about the big game TM. We are talking about, of course, Super Bowl licks down in New Orleans, Louisiana. Here's what I'd like to do today on the show. I would like to find out. This is a classic text poll question of the day. And we're going to make this one real easy, okay? We're going to make this one real easy with today's text poll of the day. I'm going to fire this thing up today at 6:30. We are going to take it all the way to 9:30. Here is your question of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Who you got? Real simple. Who you got? I'm going to set the poll. Actually, I'm going to set it to end at 9:40 a.m. You have until then to get your votes in. Who you got? I'm going to give you four options here. Yes, there's only two teams. But obviously, you got to pick. Obviously, I don't have enough spaces on my little thing here to allow you to pick your final score. So here's what I'm going to have you do. You can vote one of four waves.
Four waves.
You can vote this way. Chiefs mini, Chiefs few, Eagles mini, Eagles few. I'm using mini and few because of the shocking amount of people that I have found out that don't understand that a lot is two words, not one.
Okay, I was going to say, when you said mini, I thought M-I-N-I.
No, M-A-N-Y.
Okay, all right.
But I have found out via the wonderful world of social media that a lot of people don't know that a lot is two words. It's a space L-O-T, not A-L-O-T.
I think you should blame texting more so than social media.
I blame the education system of the United States of America.
Well, you could do that too, for sure.
So here is your poll question of the day. Who you got? Here are your vote options. And all you got to do is send your vote to 844-326-3663, 844-326-3663. I am opening the poll line up in 20 seconds, all right? So you can get it typed up now, 844-326-3663. You have four voting options for today's text poll question of the day, which is, who you got? in Super Bowl licks. Your four options are Chiefs mini, if you think the Chiefs are going to win by a mini points. Chiefs few, if you think the Chiefs are only going to win by a few points. Eagles mini, if you think it's a big dub for the birds. Or Eagles few, if you think the Eagles are just going to scrape one by over the Chiefs. That is our question of the day. It is active in 3, 2, 1. I forgot to push the right button. There it goes. The campaign is active now. 844-326-3663. 844-FAN-FONE. Your four voting options are Chiefs by many. Oh, excuse me. Chiefs many. You don't have to put the word by. Chiefs many. Chiefs few. Eagles many. Eagles few. Are the Chiefs going to smoke Philly? Are they going to squeak by Philly? Is Philadelphia going to rock Kansas City? Or is Philly just going to scrape by maybe a last-second tush-push from the one gets in for a Birds win? Chiefs mini, Chiefs few, Eagles mini, Eagles few. That is your options today. Who do you got in Super Bowl licks? Here are the texts we've gotten so far. Lonzo, Chiefs few, Chiefs few, Eagles few, Eagles few, Chiefs few, Eagles few, Chiefs few, refs. Those are the texts we've got so far on the show. Thank you to whoever said.
Only one goober so far.
Okay. Yes, but it was the first goober. It was the first one we got was refs. I read those back in the wrong order.
Okay.
Mainly because I knew if I read refs last, that was going to be the funniest.
It was.
And it was. And it was.
You were right.
And it was. Let's see here. How can you say that someone is cool you don't know on a personal level? Just how they appear? That's from Eric. Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think that's kind of how we judge celebrities, right? Like we don't know. And this is true. I've done the research. We don't know most people. I don't know most people. I only know the image that is presented to us. And I can say that one of the reasons that I do my best not to, like, develop celebrity crushes is because I've worked in public relations. The people who work in public relations are very good at public relations. They are very, very good at being able to craft and push an image, okay? But I think at the end of the day, crafting and pushing a public image is one thing. That person still has to be able to get in front of microphones or cameras or the press or the public or whatever and be that person, right? And I think with guys like Joe Burrow accepting his award last night, right? Joey B gets up there. He accepts his award for NFL Comeback Player of the Year. And the first line when he gets up in front of the mic, and I don't have it memorized exactly, but it was something to the tune of, "Welp, this is probably the only award that you don't want to win and definitely don't want to be nominated for twice." And it's like, that's a good line. It's a good, fun, throwaway line. And then he gives credit to the, we go straight to giving credit to the training staff of the Bengals. He gives credit to his doctors. That is something that I have struggled with for a very long time is when people go through medical issues and procedures and it's like they think everybody but their doctors, right? It's like, yeah, those people work a lot to get where they were to be able to heal you. But blah, 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 blah. He gave a speech. I was like, damn, that dude's cool. And then he's doing stuff like buying Batmobiles with his money. You know, I see these dudes that go out there and they're buying like $2.9 million watches. And I'm like, yeah, hey, I don't know about that. Joey B probably made the first nearly $3 million purchase by an NFL player that's not real estate that I went, yeah, I'd have done that too.
Yeah, I'd have done the story like a week or so before that they were going on sale and figured it would be someone would buy one of them that you've never heard of before. And then it ended up being him.
I think that the concept of determining someone you don't know is cool or not, it is certainly dangerous because, yes, we're seeing it right now in not to bring pop culture into this, but this whole Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds situation that's playing out right now, if you've been following that at all, it's kind of ugly. It's kind of ugly, and it I got to tell you, as much as I appreciate everything he's done for those of us that are dorks out here in the real world, Ryan Reynolds, and this, I guess, is kind of the cautionary tale. Ryan Reynolds, who I think is a dude that most of us, at least on the, like, where sports and dorks crossover list, have thought Ryan Reynolds is real cool. Turns out he might. That might be an image. That might be a brand thing, because the lawsuit going on between Blake Lively, his wife, and he, and one of Blake Lively's co-stars from her last movie.
He was also the director.
And the director.
Yeah, well, that the guy was the director. Co-star. The thing is, the rumor has been forever that Ryan Reynolds is a jerk, and he's had problems with people in the past, including the one guy from the first and second Deadpool. The guy who was in the bar. I forget his name.
Yeah. I think that, it turns out that guy's a scumbag.
Okay.
TJ, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
he got hit with, like, a lot of verified sexual assault claims. Turns out TJ, I think it's TJ Miller, is a scumbag and a terrible person and deserves to be under the jail.
I just know. And then Wesley Snipes, classically, supposedly.
Yeah, but I think Wesley Snipes has problems with a lot of people. I think Wesley Snipes has problems with most people who aren't Wesley Snipes. Not mad at him for it, because I also want to be Wesley Snipes, but I get it. Point here is, turns out Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds, they actually might be kind of turds in real life, which, again, crafted image. When I think about NFL quarterbacks, though, and this is one thing that I think is kind of the difference here, is that with celebrities, by and large, whenever you see a celebrity do a media appearance, they're in control of it, right? You see them pop up on late night talk shows, and they pop up on red carpet interviews and all that. By and large, they are in complete control of that. I did that for high level celebrities, but I was in charge of a TV news station for a hot minute. And even minor level celebrities, when they're going to come through and do like a so-and-so live in studio, they're sending you like, you may ask, you may not ask. And if you break any of these, we're walking off set and you're going to look bad. They are in control of that image. I would make the argument that very rarely are professional athletes like genuinely in complete control. When Joey B goes up to the podium in a post-game presser and he's taking questions from the media, that is unscripted. Now, the media person, if they go too far, sure, they can get blacklisted and never be allowed in the building or whatever, blah, 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 blah. But most of the times, teams don't want to do that. And so quarterbacks have to sit up there and do the post-game interviews and do the press conferences, all that, totally unscripted. And when a guy can go through all that and come across like Joey B, come across like Lamar, like Josh Allen, like Patrick Mahomes, whatever, I think we look and we go, that guy's cool. That guy's a cool guy. And I wonder if there is anything to that, that we could take and quantify and qualify and utilize it as a metric for picking future superstars like Jaden Daniels. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
The Dallas Mavericks play their...
All right, let's jump into some Super Bowl licks coverage, shall we? I want to talk about a couple of different numbers, stats, thoughts, tactics, styles, strategies, etc., etc., etc. Henry McKenna is an NFL analyst for CBS Sports. He had a breakdown on Saquon Barkley, the Philadelphia Eagles, and what makes their offense so interesting and dangerous. So I don't necessarily know that we needed the soundbite of an NFL analyst to tell anybody that Saquon's different. That Saquon's one of one this year. And again, we'll see if it becomes a year-over-year reality for the Birds.
They just wanted to showcase their cool music. That's all it was.
It is cool background music. I don't think we needed any sort of expert to tell anybody with a pair of eyeballs that Saquon Barkley's one of one. He's a dog. He's a dude. He's different. And that Saquon Barkley is special. Of course he is. Saquon Barkley is the cat that is so good. He's in that category of, and I really do think there's not but a very few number of running backs in the league, that you can say this about. There are quarterbacks you can say it about. Mahomes is one of them. Allen is one of them. Jackson is one of them. Burrow's one of them. That you can know exactly who they are. You can know exactly what they're going to do. And unless you just have absolutely elite playmakers, you're still going to have a real hard time stopping them. There's not a ton of running backs in that category, in my opinion. I really think if I had to narrow it down, I could say Saquon's at the top of that list. I'd put Derrick Henry kind of, honestly, even Derrick Henry, I'd say, is probably on the fringe of that list. Jahmyr Gibbs is kind of like on the fringe of that list. Maybe Josh Jacobs. I think that was probably more true a couple of years ago than the last two. But I think the point here is, if I was asking you what running backs would you say are on a list of guys that you can know exactly who they are, exactly where they're going, exactly what they're going to do, and you still can't stop them, the list of guys that is definitively on that list is Saquon Barkley, maybe Derrick Henry. Maybe that's it. What's interesting about it, though, and what McKenna pointed out in that take, was that unlike Derrick Henry, unlike Jahmyr Gibbs, unlike Josh Jacobs, unlike anybody else that we would say is on that list or is a threat to make that list, the Eagles' offense features Saquon, and everybody else, including Jalen Hurts, is the next option down. Is that a bad take? I don't think that's a bad take. Everybody else is not the feature, is not the focal point. I think that Saquon Barkley is. This is why I pointed out a number of times when I was giving you my six keys to the game. I gave you six keys that I think you can look at, and at the end of the game Sunday night, we'll be able to attach a number to each of these six keys. The six keys were, for Philadelphia, stop the run game. Stop. Not slow it down. Stop Kareem Hunt. Make Patrick Mahomes be a dog. Make Patrick Mahomes be a guy. For Kansas City, win the variables, win the margins, win the turnover battle, win the penalties battle, even if it's going to cause controversy, win the penalties battle. For Philadelphia, it's make A.J. Brown a star. Make him a stud, make him a dude, make him the guy. You got to go to him, and you got to go to him a bunch. For Kansas City, fast-paced offense, get the ball out, get the ball out, get the ball out, get the ball out. For Philadelphia, stop the blitz. Do not let Steve Spagnuolo determine what your offense looks like with his blitzing.
That was so close.
I know.
Close.
I was rolling through it. And number one, the number one key to the game, the thing I wrote down before I wrote down anything else, was not stop Saquon Barkley. It was limit Saquon Barkley. Hayden Asmario was on the show yesterday. He said, yo, if you can keep Saquon Barkley to just 100 yards and a touchdown, 95 yards and a touchdown, you got a real good chance of winning this game. And I agree with that entirely, because Saquon Barkley is the only running back in the NFL that is the offense. And so to take it back to something else I talked about earlier in the week, I went back to the AFC Championship game against the Buffalo Bills. And I have said a couple of times, I absolutely believe, all things considered, I'd be willing to say the Bills should have won that game. Honestly, I think the Bills should have won that game. I think the Bills shot themselves in the foot. I think the Bills slammed the door on their own genitalia, because you had a running back in James Cook who, I told Lonzo leading up to that week, I'm like, I'm going to tell you right now, James Cook's a guy. He's underappreciated. He should be on that list of guys on the fringe of that list of guys, but on the fringe of that list of guys. James Cook's a dog. James Cook came into this game and racked up 85-plus yards on 13 carries, and then the Bills just stopped giving him the football. This is the other reason I said, if I'm the Bills, I'm letting McDermott go. You're telling me you got a guy that you watched carry the ball 13 times for 85 yards, and you stopped using him? You just stopped? I'm gonna need that explained to me. I know ball. I don't know why that was the case. What's the difference between Philadelphia and Kansas City? Well, number one, as good as James Cook is, and I was promoting James Cook all season, getting to the playoffs, and me saying I'd watch out for James Cook in the AFC title game was not a new take. I had been promoting that guy all season long. The difference, however, is twofold. Number one, in Buffalo, James Cook is the variable that keeps a defense on its toes, acting and playing honestly so that Josh Allen can do Josh Allen things. In Philadelphia, it's the other way around. In Philadelphia, Jalen's the guy that's got to do enough to make a defense play back so that Saquon Barkley has time to do Saquon Barkley things. Number two, when it came down to gut-wrench time, Buffalo said, yeah, we're going to stop giving the ball to James Cook, and we're going to try to make Josh Allen do everything, or let Josh Allen do everything, or whatever you want to call it. I have said before, and I'll say again, I think if this game gets late into the contest, and hell, even if we go into the fourth quarter and the Birds are trailing the Chiefs by a couple of touchdowns, they are still going to give the ball to Saquon Barkley. Because Saquon Barkley is a home run threat. This stat blew my mind yesterday. Saquon Barkley's average yards per touchdown this year, Lonzo, was over 25. Just sit with that for a second. Just let that stir around in the noggin for a second. When Saquon Barkley found the end zone in 2024, it was on average from 25 or more yards away. That is unreal. That's an unreal number. He's a home run threat from literally anywhere on the football field this year. There's no spot he's not a threat.
That also points out that once he gets past a certain level of the defense, he's really fast.
He's untouchable. He's not just fast, he's strong as hell too, right? That dude's got quads as big around as my shoulders. He's unbelievable. So when I talk about Saquon Barkley, and I guess this is kind of what makes the Jalen Hurts conversation very interesting for me. I was watching yesterday, scrolling around social media while I was waiting for the NFL Honor Show to start up. Was hanging out with the wife, and like good millennial relationships, we sit on opposite sides of the couch and we scroll social media, finding memes to send each other from 2 feet away, because that's what adults do. And so we were sitting there scrolling social media, and I came across a conversation. I wish I could remember who it was. I feel bad about not, but it is what it is. Conversation between a couple of media personalities. I think they were a couple of the NFL Net guys. And one of them said, there is nothing right now that Jalen Hurts can do to be placed into the conversation with Patrick Mahomes, with Josh Allen, with Lamar Jackson. The other guy on the other side of the couch said, yo, Jalen Hurts is on his way to his second Super Bowl in 3 years. Josh Allen hasn't been to one at all. Lamar Jackson hasn't been to one at all. Joe Burrow's been to one, but only one. It was a few years back, and he lost it. And the other guy said, let me ask you this right now. If I was to take Jalen Hurts off this team and just put a nondescript, create a player who was an average NFL quarterback, not good, just average, how much different does this team look this year? And I was able to come up with one. The tush push isn't as effective.
I was going to say, can they tush push?
Yeah. The tush push isn't as effective. That play works for two reasons. Number one, physics. Thanks, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Shout out. And number two, because Jalen Hurts squats a billion pounds. Okay? That's why that works. The only thing that would be different is the Eagles' tush push would not work as well. Outside of that, he said, would the team be that different? And I sat there and I was thinking about this because one of my dear friends that lives here in the area, Big Bird's guy. And we've been texting all week about the Super Bowl. And I texted him and I'm like, hot take. If I took Jalen Hurts off this team and I put an average NFL quarterback on it, whoever is the most average quarterback in the NFL, not good, not bad, just average. I said, hot take. The Birds would have a couple more losses because you would lose the tush push, because the tush push wouldn't work without Jalen Hurts. But the team, by and large, would look exactly the same. And he, as a Birds fan, said, I actually agree with that. That is because this team is centered on Saquon Barkley. That is the reason that I have said a couple of times. The Chiefs were very fortunate against the Bills that Sean McDermott, for whatever reason, in big-time games, just like spazzes out. The Eagles aren't going to do that. I can give Nick Sirianni credit for one thing, if nothing else. And that one thing is there's never a spot where he figures out, where he forgets, we should probably give the ball to Saquon Barkley. We should probably give the ball to the man in the backfield. There's no spot where they say, hey guys, Saquon's got 85 yards on 13 carries. We should let Jalen Hurts throw more. That doesn't happen. The only way Jalen Hurts is throwing more is if it is very late in the fourth quarter and the Eagles are down a couple of scores. Even if it's late in the fourth quarter and they're only down a single score, it's still Saquon time. Because he can break one anywhere on the football field in a way that nobody else can. I can't let Jalen Hurts be the hero with Saquon Barkley in the backfield. In fact, the only time that I would say I feel comfortable making Jalen Hurts play hero ball, great one, is if the Eagles are down a score and there's like 1 minute left to play and they're out of timeouts, right? Like there's no way to stop the clock that doesn't include an incompletion or whatever.
Although, depending on where they are on the field, you just pointed out, 25 yards out, I mean,
yeah.
His average. I mean, if the defense is playing a certain way and you know you got him, don't you take a chance?
Yeah, the only way that Saquon Barkley becomes my second option to Jalen Hurts in any situation is if it is like dead last minute of the fourth, we're down a score and we're a ways out. That's it. It's the only way. Outside of that, Saquon's the guy. So if James Cook was cooking, and he was, Saquon can cook. If the Eagles just give the ball to Saquon Barkley, turn around, put it into the gut of the guy who got you here, I think they can win this football game. We're going to give you our official picks later on in the show. The text poll question of the day is up right now, 844-326-3663. Who you got? Your options are Chiefs many, if you think they're going to win by a lot, Chiefs few, if you think they're going to skirt by Philly, Eagles mini, if you think they blow Mahomes out of the water, or Eagles few, if you think it's a one-score game somewhere along the line. Chiefs mini, Chiefs few, Eagles mini, Eagles few. Text your answer to 844-326-3663. Let's find out who the upstates got in Super Bowl licks. Now let's find out what's going on in the world of sports with this sports flash.
Very professional. Well done.
Thank you.
The NFL handed out its season awards last night and announced its 2025 Hall of Fame class. The Most Valuable Player Award went to Bills quarterback Josh Allen, while Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell won Coach of the Year. The Rams' Jared Verse won Defensive Rookie of the Year, while Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels won on the offensive side. Joe Burrow is the Comeback Player of the Year. Saquon Barkley is Offensive Player of the Year. And Patrick Surtain II is Defensive Player of the Year. Tight end Antonio Gates, cornerback Eric Allen, defensive end Jared Allen, and wide receiver Sterling Sharp headlined the smallest Hall of Fame class since 2005. Adam Vinatieri, Eli Manning, and Luke Kuechly all missed out in their first year of eligibility. Hey, tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. as the Furman Paladins take on the Chattanooga Mocs. It's Furman versus Chattanooga right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.